This is Digital Story Podcast number 780, March 2nd, 2021. Today's theme is My Impressions of Online Workshops. I'm Derek Story. Having just completed my fourth online workshop since the pandemic began, I'm starting to get a feel for the strengths and weaknesses of this approach. In today's TDS podcast, I share my recent experiences and look forward to the evolution of how photographers will work together in the future. I hope you enjoy the show. So let's start with the workshop I just completed. This is the Saturday morning when we do our final presentations, and I'm going to describe how I set up for that morning and some of the things that happened, and then I'll get into some of my overall impressions of doing business this way, you know, us getting together and trying to be better as photographers online instead of in person. But let's start with Saturday morning. So at 8:30 a.m., sit down at the iMac that sits on a folding table in what used to be my portrait room at the studio. So this is a room that I used to do all my portrait work and is now a Zoom room. And I'm sure many of you have converted all sorts of rooms to Zoom rooms or Zoom corners, right? So you can relate. At this point, I'm like a pilot preparing for takeoff. I begin the sequence of checking my network download and upload speeds, which I think is very important to make sure that I have a good connection and that my Zoom will be steady and strong during the event. I also check my USB audio, and I do an audio test, and the preferences in Zoom allow us to check both our audio output and our audio input, which I find very important, and I do that before every meeting. I also check my camera settings and to make sure that the lighting looks good on me. Even though I have the same setup, I'm not changing anything. Just to double check, make sure the battery in the camera is fresh. Make sure that I didn't knock it out of focus when I was changing batteries. You know, stuff like that. By 8:45, I'm feeling relatively confident that I was prepared for the day of workshop presentations, which begin at 9. By 8:55, the first handful of participants begin to appear in my Zoom window. You know, and usually at this point, folks are often adjusting, you know, their settings, organizing their work surface, getting their coffee in the right place, and just sort of preparing for the day ahead. And it's kind of fun to watch that going on. You know, people just kind of said, okay, I'm getting... Same thing that I do, except I usually do it before I turn on the camera. But nonetheless, you know, so there's a little bit of getting it together. And we usually do some small talk, right, during this one. We haven't officially started the meeting yet, but if I see someone and it looks like they're pretty much ready, you know, say hello, how's it going? How did your shooting go this week? You know, all that kind of stuff. Like any live performance, nobody knows exactly what to expect. And there's a couple things going on. The presentation itself is that each photographer has 8 images to share and discuss. So they've already turned them in to me. I've got them all, you know, ready to go. I handle the technical stuff because I just want them to focus on their images and telling us the stories that go with them and not having to worry about screen sharing and all that kind of stuff. So I take care of all of that stuff. Now, even though everyone is prepared, and everyone was prepared for our Saturday thing, there's always that little bit of unknown about, okay, I think I have it straight in my head what I'm going to say, but what if I start talking and I go down a rabbit hole? You know, that kind of stuff. Plus, none of us know the myriad of technical considerations that could go wrong. Hopefully, will go right for the day to be a success. So we have all this sort of anticipation. It feels very much to me like theater compared to a movie. If you go to the movies, chances are everything is going to run to script, right? The movie's already made. Everything's a well-oiled machine. If you go to the theater, chances are good that everything will run to script, but not assured. Not assured. because it's live, and this is live. And that's part of what I like both when we do physical workshops together, but we have the same element when we do the Zoom workshops as well. So we get going, and usually after the first 15 or 20 minutes, I can tell how the day's going to go. And in this case, this last Saturday, it went very well, as it normally does. Now, by about 3 p.m., and we've had breaks and all that kind of stuff, everyone, you know, had shared their work, and we settled into a few minutes of relaxed conversation. And you could tell just in the air, even though we're all over the place, I'm in California, some of the others are in California, some are in Arizona, some are in Florida. We even had William, who was across the pond. You know, so even though we're all over the place, there's kind of an air in the Zoom room of satisfaction of like, wow, that came off. That was really neat. I enjoyed it. You know, we pulled it off even though we span many, many miles. That part's kind of amazing to me still. In the in-between moments, you know, we talk about the nature of workshops going forward. And, you know, for most of us, myself included, believe that the online experience is here to stay. Now, it's going to change, evolve, all that kind of stuff. So maybe it won't be exactly in the form that we're using it right now, but there are a lot of good takeaways that have come out of this necessity to adjust. And some of those good takeaways are going to be incorporated into what we do going forward. That's what I want to talk about next, because they're fascinating to me. What I have noticed, here we are in March, and really it was last March when the scramble began with us trying to figure out where to go from here. All right, so in the course of 1 year, the first thing that I've noticed is that we're all better at Zoom. And I suppose that was necessary for us to survive. But the Zoom meetings now, to me, they look better. They sound better. People aren't talking over one another. People know how, you know, to work a Zoom call. All of that is better than it was a year ago. Absolutely, for sure. The interactions are much higher quality. Lighting, audio, timing, all better now in Zoom meetings. And I bring this up because I think that Zoom not being as commonplace before and not everybody having to get good at it sort of limited our ability to use that for online courses and gatherings, birds of a feather, workshops, all that sort of stuff. Because you would have some people that were comfortable with it and then other people going, I've never logged into Zoom in my life. I have no idea what to do. Can I use my iPhone? You know, that kind of stuff. And in fact, one of our participants in this last workshop, Tom, he did his presentation from his Mac in his studio at home. And then he had an obligation he had to take care of, but someone else could drive. So he was riding in the passenger seat, still participating in the workshop from the car via his phone. And was able to comment and see what was going on and all that kind of stuff. That's pretty cool. You know, we've never had that flexibility before. So the fact that we're all better at Zoom now and are more familiar with it allows us to use it more going forward and have that as a viable option, where I just was not that comfortable in 2019 doing Zoom meetings, in all honesty. So that is definitely a plus. That rising tide has made all of our boats just a little bit higher, okay? All right, so that's the first thing. The second thing that is a good thing that's coming out of this is that people who could never attend our workshops before can now. Now, a physical workshop has many benefits, some which I'll touch on in a minute, but there's also a bigger financial investment. Is much different than an online workshop, at least my online workshops, because you have tuition that's more expensive for physical workshops because there's more costs. You have travel costs, you have lodging, you have meals, and all of that adds up to a substantial investment. For some folks, it is their one vacation that they get to do a year. Now, online events, because they are so much more affordable, most of mine that last a month are $145 for the whole thing. $145, that is it. Okay, that is far less than the tuition for the physical workshop. Plus, you don't have the travel expense. Plus, you know, you can eat your meals at home. Lodging, well, what's your rent, right? Whatever that is, that's what your lodging is. So that is a tremendous difference. So what I'm noticing is that now I'm getting people coming to these workshops, these online workshops, from all over the place, from up in Canada, from over the pond in Europe, a lot of people from Florida, New York, those areas, where I don't think, you know, I mean, they've never been to a physical workshop before, one of my physical workshops, and chances are very good that I wouldn't see them at a physical workshop in the future either, but I get to work with them now because this online approach is so much more affordable and you can work it into your schedule. At the beginning of the pandemic, a lot of folks had more time on their hands. And, you know, the workshops, they were able to really jump in with both feet. Now, more folks, I've noticed, especially this last one, more folks are back at work or partially back at work or, you know, their situation has changed, but they're still able to participate in the online workshop. Because you can, you know, I offer on the weekly sessions, I offer a morning or a late afternoon. So depending on where you are, it could be an evening session or, you know, an early morning session. And people were able to attend one or the other. So that worked nice. And then on Saturday, you know, you're able to plan ahead and save that Saturday. And so then they're able to attend that. And then they can do the photo assignments whenever their gaps appear in their schedule. And it worked out really well. I mean, I have not noticed any less quality in the presentations from the last workshop when people are busier than from the first workshop when people had more time on their hands. So it's a very flexible approach as well. More time for instruction, right? Because I can stretch it out over a whole month instead of just having it focused on like a 3-day event. There's more time to work on the photo assignments. We can do more photo assignments. We might not be in the exotic locations that we are on a physical workshop, but the fact of the matter is that we're able to do more work, put it up on site, you know, let people comment on it, fine-tune it, really get some feedback, and then get it ready for the final presentation. That whole part of it, I think, has really opened it up so that we get more people participating than we did in just strictly physical workshops. The fourth thing, and this is where I think we lose a little something with the online workshops, meeting people on Zoom is different than in person. I mean, all of us know this, right? On one hand, you know, it's fun seeing the different home environments. I like that, actually, that we get during the Zoom calls. I feel like, in a way, I get to see a side of the person that I didn't get to see in the physical workshops. But on the other hand, there's nothing that can truly replace 10 people sitting around a table, sharing a meal, and swapping stories. I mean, that, in the world of human interaction, that is one of the most fun things, especially when everyone around that table shares a passion, in our case, photography, okay? We're still giving that up with online workshops. And then the other thing that we're giving up when we do online is that we're not in some cool location like the Humboldt Redwoods or the Eastern Sierras or, you know, somewhere like that, and that we're all not working the same area and then getting to see at presentations the different interpretations that people produced with their images, even though they were standing 5 feet from us when they took the shot. That's also a bit of a loss compared to the physical. It's not like we get all these benefits without some loss. There are those two things, not being able to break bread together, to work at the lab table together, all that, And then also just being in a cool place together and then seeing how that plays out in presentations. I miss both of those things already. Going back to good stuff, one thing that I doubt would have happened had not this situation presented itself is that we probably still would not have an online space, you know, Derek Story Online, to manage our workshops. And this is such a bonus, I have to tell you. You know, I had thought about doing something like that for a long time. But when you're busy and you're trying to do all these other things, you know, thinking about it and actually figuring out which platform's the best and how to do it and, you know, building it and making it all work is another thing. The pandemic really forced me to get laser beam on this and to build it. And now that we have it, I mean, oh my gosh, I'm never going back. I mean, when this is all over with the virus and everything, we're still keeping this because I love it. Having this online space where we can schedule events, where we can post pictures for feedback, where we can ask questions, where I can post tutorials, where we can meet people from the other workshops, on and on and on. All the benefits are just crazy. And what's going to happen moving forward, and you know, we talked about this, is that we're going to end up with a hybrid situation. And we'll start to see this play out a little bit at the end of this year. But in 2022, we're going to see it in full force, which is we're going to have both physical and online workshops. But I'll be able to decide physical workshop or online workshop based on which platform is best for the topic and what we want to accomplish. So let's say on the 2022 season, let's say that we have two, maybe three physical workshops, and we have maybe four or five online workshops, then you can choose what you want. Or you can go, you know what, I want to do this online workshop. I can work that in. I don't have to take any time off. And I would love to do this physical workshop. I wanted to go to Humboldt Redwoods before. We couldn't do it because of the pandemic. Now I'm going to get there and I want to experience that as well. So we're going to have options for both. The physical workshops, however, are going to get better. And the reason why is before, what we did was, you know, we'd all meet at the location. We'd have to get to know each other. And then after the first day, everyone is usually pretty comfortable with one another and things really became a lot more relaxed. But then when the workshop was over, it was over. Okay. Now what's going to happen is we're going to have one or two Zoom meetings before the physical workshop. So let's say we start 2 weeks before we actually meet somewhere. Have a Zoom meeting 1 week, have another Zoom meeting the following week, and then we meet on location. When we meet on location, we're already up to speed. We've already had a chance to talk about our equipment, what lenses, you know, all that kind of stuff. We've already got to know each other a little bit. And so we're starting at a better place at the physical workshop. Then we have the physical workshop itself with all the wonderful things that come out of that. And then when it's over, though, we can still keep the party going because we have this online site. So if people got suggestions during the presentation about one or two of their favorite images, they can take those suggestions into account, work on their images a bit, and then post the new version on the online site for the rest of us to look at and go, yes, that's exactly what I was talking about. I'm glad you tried it. That looks great. And keep that going. Keep that whole thing going. So I feel like that what we've learned online is going to really extend the benefits of the physical workshops. And it won't cost anything more to do it. So you're going to get more physical workshop for the same amount of money. And I just think that's wonderful. I just love that. And at the same time, we'll be able to keep the online workshops for folks that don't want to travel, for subjects that are just fine, you know, working with online. Those will probably evolve as well, because once we're able to bring physical workshops back into it, the online workshops can serve different needs. I'm really optimistic about all this. I think that the latter half of 2021, and then especially 2022, is going to be very exciting. I think we have a real opportunity to start to meet with one another in person again. You take all this knowledge that we have learned over the last year, and build something really special moving forward. Glad that you're going to be a part of it. I'm really excited about it. For those of you that have been participating in the online workshops, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate what you've done and how well you've done it, because not only did we continue to get to have those experiences we want, but it has really provided a lot of information to help us moving forward as well. Speaking of online workshops, we have openings for the second session of the iPhone Pro Photography Workshop, and this is the one we just completed, and it was a blast. It was so much fun, and you know, basically what we're doing is that we're using a modern iPhone, and then we're combining it with a compact digital camera, our favorite compact. In my case, I'm either using an Olympus Micro Four Thirds or the Fujifilm X100V, and then we're working out workflows and shooting techniques that leverage these two pieces of equipment that essentially, for most of our work, can replace a whole camera bag full of stuff. And just like I anticipated, so much of the knowledge comes from people working things out on their own and then coming back into the workshop group and sharing what they've learned, and then other people going, wow, that's really great. That helps me solve this problem that I'm having. And then at the end of it, what we're doing is that we're showing comparison pictures from shoots that we did during the photo assignments, where we would interpret a scene with a digital camera and have one kind of story, and then we would shoot that same scene with the iPhone using, you know, one of the three lenses on the iPhone if you have a three lens model, and then showing those two things and then talking about how, you know, we have all these options and how those images are so different and how they tell different stories. And then talking about the workflow that, you know, helps us streamline, you know, this process, helps us better integrate our camera into the mobile workflow, all this kind of stuff. It was just fascinating, and it was much deeper than I anticipated. If you're interested in that kind of stuff, we still have seats available for the second session, which will begin on April 21st. I have a link in the show notes where you can just click on it, go over and read all about it and sign up if you wish. Or you can just go to thenimblephotographer.com, go to workshops, and you'll see it there. So if you're interested in better leveraging your iPhone and a digital camera and really making them work together beautifully, this event's for you. The best cloud storage platforms for photographers in 2021. This is an article from Petapixel. I have the link to the original article in the show notes. I thought it was really interesting. I'm going to read you the lead up, you know, why they decided to put this article together. And then if you're interested, click on the link in the show notes and go over and see. They talk about all the different cloud services. Let me read you what they say at the beginning here. As another year of taking photos rolls on, having enough storage is yet another thing on every photographer's checklist. Thanks to the cloud, we can have another layer of security and enjoy convenience of accessing our photos anywhere as long as we have internet connection. Those who are frequently using free cloud storage platforms as an extra backup may already know that they will soon have one less option. Google Photos will stop providing unlimited free photo backups on June 21st. Past the 15 gigabyte mark, you'll need to pay for Google One subscription starting at $1.99 a month for 100 gigabytes. If you need more space, you can get 200 gigabytes for $2.99 a month, 2 terabytes for $9.99 per month, and 30 terabytes for $149 per month. I wonder how many people are going to subscribe to that last one. The lowest tier doesn't sound so bad until you get to the part that, apart from photos, other files like Google Docs, Sheets, Slides, and Forms will also be counted in the storage caps starting June 1st. If you're a heavy user of these platforms and frequently store your photos, or if you need them for secure long-term backup of your entire photo archive, you will likely find yourself needing to purchase extra space through the years. If you don't need that much space, or you just need a temporary backup for your extra photos, of course, there are still some remaining free options. We say temporary because these free services come with caveats like file type limitations and small storage allocations, things like that. Still, a good number of these platforms also offer options for upgrades once you're ready to pay for extra space and useful features. So then they get into the different services alone. And all the usual suspects are there. The Google service is there. Adobe Creative Cloud is there. Apple iCloud is there. But then also a number of other services. They include Dropbox. They analyze Dropbox there. You know, Box.com, some of those things. It's nice just to be able to look at one sheet, kind of look at all the options and go, you know what? Now that I get to see everything next to each other, this actually makes more sense for me. So again, if you're interested in this sort of thing, or if this is a need that you have, go to the show notes, click on the link to the Petapixel article and take a look. And I'm using iCloud for most of my stuff, but it was nice to see how it stacked up against the other options as well. EV Explorers for those who are interested in electric cars. So I talked about electric cars and photography last week, and as a result, I've created a new group at Derek Story Online titled EV Explorers. So the tagline for this group is bringing curiosity and nimbleosity to the world of electric vehicle transportation. I've gotten some interesting notes, of course, since I broached this subject. And some people are going, well, you know, there's a lot of, you know, dirty pollution that goes into making electricity. Well, sometimes that's true, of course, you know, and it depends on, you know, where and what and all of that. But the difference is that with electric, you have the potential to be much cleaner than you do with fossil fuels, whereas fossil fuels are pretty much that process is locked in. For example, I have a number of friends who have chosen to have their electricity provided only by renewable resource. Their power company gave them that option. They pay a little bit more for that option, but at the same time, they're only using all the usual suspects, hydro, wind, solar, geothermal, things that don't produce carbon emissions or as many carbon emissions. And so those options are already there. Also, home options for you to harness your own electricity and then use it for vehicles is there now, and that's going to become more prolific. So even though electricity isn't always produced in the cleanest way, it has the potential to be very clean, and I think that's the direction we're going. And just like any new thing, you know, there are going to be, you know, some ups and downs along the way. But overall, I feel very excited about this. And if you like that sort of stuff, if you're interested in electric vehicles and what their potential is, and you want to compare notes with other people who have that interest, then the link to EV Explorers on Derek Story Online is in the show notes. Come over and join us. We're going to compare test drive notes. We're going to compare user experience. We're going to share research that we find. And really just try to get the most out of this and see how far this ball can be moved forward. All right, before we wrap up, just a little virtual camera club news. I want to start out by thanking our Patreon members, those who are our Inner Circle members. Thank you so much for your support month in and month out. I truly appreciate it. Your help helps us do things like I've been talking about in the show. Helps us create new ways to get together for workshops, helps us start new groups that explores new technologies. All of this in part is a result of your support. And those of you who haven't joined the Inner Circle yet, I would encourage you to do so. Big thanks to everyone who's helping us keep going forward. I truly appreciate it. While we're doling out thank yous, Red River Paper needs to be right there. You know, I read an interesting thing that, you know, printing is back in now since the pandemic started because people are having to produce their own documents and all that kind of stuff. And I was thinking, but are they printing more photos? I mean, are they only printing the boring stuff and missing out the joy of printing beautiful art with that same printer that you have for spreadsheets? And I was thinking, man, if I could only send them a memo saying, when you're done printing that spreadsheet, open up your Photos app and print out that shot that you took last weekend at the coast, or, you know, something that you really prize, a close-up of a flower that's in your garden. Print that out too, because it is a lot prettier than a spreadsheet, and it will make you feel very good. And that's the kind of printing that the folks at Red River Paper want to help us do. They want to help us produce the art that not only makes us feel good, but makes other people feel good when we share it with them. Now, they have a tile on all the pages of the digital store. Click on it, go over to our landing page, explore all the different types of paper, projects, reviews, tutorials, everything that they have to offer for the fun side of printing to help counterbalance the boring stuff that so many of us are having to produce right now. All right. Just know, we want balance in our life, and balance in our printing life comes to us through Red River Paper. Thank you for supporting us. And they have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. Thank you so much for joining me. Come back next week when we talk about more cool stuff. In the meantime, stay safe, be creative. See you next Tuesday.